out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 21st of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, today we're going to look at the way the police are perceived by society and how that is changing, particularly in Britain. And often we concentrate on hate crimes, so-called hate crimes that the police are now tasked with investigating, people criticising people we are not supposed to be allowed to criticise online, which, of course, the general population, the general public are not happy with. But there's also another side to policing, another big failure of the police, and that's to actually keep law and order on the streets. The police appear to be losing all the respect of the people on the streets. It seems to be every week now a new video appears showing the police being beaten up, usually by non-whites. Now, apparently, in last year alone, there were 26,000 assaults on the police. 26,000 police officers were attacked. And 17,000 nurses and doctors. Who do you think it is that's doing all this attacking against the police? Don't forget, in Britain, we've always been policed by consent. The police very rarely had to use their truncheon. And now we've got stabbings, shootings and acid attacks on the streets. The police are getting a little bit worried about actually making any arrests, actually intervening in what's going on. Part of this is that they rely on members of the public helping them when they make an arrest. And when was the last time you saw anybody helping the police in any of these videos of them being attacked? I can't recall seeing it ever. What you can hear on these videos is lots of black people laughing and cheering on the criminals to get away. Recently there was a video that was shown and it was a traffic stop. And the people filming it, they obviously didn't know who it was that was being stopped in the car. And the police were trying to arrest this guy and he just beat them off and ran off up the road. And all the audience there were just cheering him and clapping and cheering him on. Whereas 50 years ago, the crowd would have been chasing after the criminal to stop him from getting away. This is the difference. This is what multiculturalism has brought to our countries. And this particular incident is making headline news over here in Britain at the moment. And this seems to be the first time that a lot of people have actually realised that this is what's going on. Well, what looks like a white policeman and his female colleague have been savagely beaten by blacks in a brutal attack on a South London street. Now, it was suggested a long time ago that if you have female police, they're not going to be able to keep order because they don't have the strength that men have. Now, if this had been two policemen, would these four blacks have been able to disable them in the way that they did? I'm not sure that they would have done. But part of the reasoning for this is that there was just a man and a woman there. I mean, how can a woman arrest a bloke that's twice the size of her? You could say, well, how about if they were given weapons? But our police, we don't want the police with guns on our streets. We don't want that in Britain. We may have to have that because all the criminals are now are now getting guns, but we were perfectly capable of being able to be policed without our police needing to have lethal weaponry until we imported all these savages from the third world. In mobile phone footage posted on Twitter, two men can be seen punching and kicking the male and female officer as scores of people pass by without intervening. So when I was watching this video, I thought it was four people, but it's actually only two people. Just two Negroes were able to take out a police officer and his female colleague, and they weren't using weapons. Now, what does that say about our police in Britain? Now, it really wouldn't surprise, it doesn't surprise me when you hear about police just not stopping crime. It's too dangerous for them to stop crimes from happening now. We are in real danger of losing our control of the streets over here in Britain, particularly, or if it hasn't happened already. I mean, it has happened already in a lot of areas, but particularly in London. And if we get to it today, in today's episode, we're also going to have a look at Birmingham again as well, because Birmingham is now the second most violent city in Britain. And Birmingham is also just about majority non-white now. What a surprise. What a coincidence. These cities that just happen to be majority non-white are also the most violent cities in Britain, with the most horrific crimes that are taking place in them. The shocking incident in Merton, southwest London, on Saturday night saw the two black male attackers wearing hoodies and dragging the policeman away from his patrol car and kicking him. A policewoman can then be seen trying to pull them off her colleague, but she falls as a man brutally kicks her to the ground, and she almost gets run over by a bus at that point. Her head is literally inches away from a bus wheel that comes driving up the road. The assault comes amidst London's violent crime wave, with the capital's murder count reaching 122 so far this year over the weekend. We've actually got more murders taking place in London now than take place in New York. And of course, that's a prediction that Enoch Powell made in the 60s that he was criticised for, which has now come true. The clip, recorded by a man in his car at 7:55 p.m. on Saturday, with music playing in the background, shows several people just walk by without stopping to help the officers. This is the thing. The police expect the public to help them when they arrest somebody. But when the public is made up of blacks and non-whites, there's no way they are going to be helping the police. They see us as the enemy. We are the enemy to them. They're not going to help. They're going to help the criminals. Eventually, with the help of a heroic moped rider, the policeman manages to get the attacker off him and pins him down, ready to arrest him. Now, moped riders happen to be very often victims of crime in London. They often have their mopeds stolen from them. They get bleach or acid sprayed in their face at the traffic lights, and then they get their bikes stolen from them. So that could be the reason why this moped rider jumped in there to help, or it could just have been that he was a white guy. There are still some white people left in London. They only make up about 35% of the population there now, but there are still some. The video was uploaded to Twitter alongside the caption, "South London at night, LOL." This is the thing. They think this is just funny. Non-whites just think it's funny to see this, and they'll film it and upload it. Well, white people will be looking at it and thinking, what the hell is going on? Why doesn't anybody help the police apprehend these criminals? Well, the reason for that is because London is now full of criminals. It's full of people that have no respect for the law, people that never even developed a system of law in Africa. They don't understand why they should be expected to follow the law. It doesn't come naturally to them. And, you know, you can criticize me as much as you like for saying that, but if the following laws came natural to Negroes, they would have developed a system of law, wouldn't they? They would have developed a system where they could get justice, where people that broke the law and committed crimes would be punished, and they never had one. A Met Police spokesman told the Mail Online a 20-year-old man was arrested and charged with causing ABH and assaulting an emergency services worker. He was also charged with driving without a license or insurance after being stopped by police. He will appear at Wimbledon Magistrates Court today. And what kind of a punishment is he going to get? Do you think he'll be sent to prison? I doubt whether he'll be sent to prison. We haven't got enough room in our prisons. And if he is sent to prison, what kind of a punishment is that going to be? How do you think these Negroes live in Africa? They live in mud huts, sitting there on the floor of a mud hut, eating flies, half of them do. Coming to Britain and being sent to prison is like staying in a penthouse suite for them. It's hardly any kind of punishment for them. And why should they worry about having a driving license? Just get in a car and drive. The worst that can happen is that you'll get your living costs paid for. It's a bonus to them, no matter what happens. And we do hear of them deliberately getting themselves arrested in the hopes that they'll be sent to prison where they will be looked after and have everything done for them. And that's all the Negro wants. He wants a roof over his head. He wants his food. So long as he's comfortable, he's happy. He's got no drive to better himself or a drive to contribute to society. He just has a drive, an instinctual drive to satisfy his instincts, to eat, sleep, and have sex. Once those instincts are satisfied, he's happy. That's why they don't have a civilization. They don't have the same societies that we have over there. And that's fine. That's just the way they are. That's the way they were created. And that's what they tell us when they're interviewed, when they're asked, why did you commit this crime? They say, well, because I could. Because I enjoyed doing it. Because there was a chance to do that. When they say, well, why did you rape this girl and kill her when all you had to do, all you needed to do was rob her? Well, I just got carried away. Why not do that? You know, this is their instinctual behavior is to behave like predators, and we need to protect ourselves from it. And our cities are now overrun with them, and our police can't do policing anymore. They've had all their numbers cut back as well, which doesn't help. But the source of this problem is the fact that we have diversity in our cities. Two other men were involved, one of which is seen in the video footage. They are both at large. The footage received a mixed response on Twitter, with some finding it funny and others slamming the witness for not intervening. Not even the slightest bit funny. If it was the other way around, there'd be riots in the streets. LOL. Have some respect. One person tweeted. If it had been white people piling on a Negro, they would have been accused of being racist. If this had been these white cops and they'd been beating up these Negroes, they would have accused of racism. If it had been the Negro that was flat out, because it was two white police. When it's the other way around, oh, that's quite fine. That's fine for Negroes to gang up on a white man, but for whites to gang up on a Negro, that's racist. Another said, shame on you for filming this and not trying to help. And one user commented, how people can find this funny is beyond me. And to film it and not even bother to help, these people would be the first to ask for services when needed. Well, this is just it. It's not just the police that are attacked like this. When fire engines and ambulances go into certain neighbourhoods, rocks get thrown at them. And the non-whites try to set fire to their vehicles. They think it's a great laugh to attack the emergency services. This is something that particularly happens in Sweden. But not just in Sweden. I mean, this happens in Britain as well. Police numbers have been called into question after the number of stabbings and shootings across London spiralled out of control. The latest fatal stabbing took place in Peckham, southeast London, claiming the life of pensioner Maureen Watkins, 75. Her son, Edward Watkins, 55, has been charged with her murder. Now, I've tried to find a picture of either Maureen or her son, Edward, And suspiciously, there are no pictures available. I wonder why that might be. Possibly because they're both black? By any chance? In a horrifying attack last week, a mother of five from Ilford, East London, was killed after being shot with a crossbow in front of her children. Ramanoj Unmathulagagdu has been charged with Shana Mohammed's murder, which also saw her unborn baby delivered by emergency C-section after she was shot in the stomach. So both the killer and the person that was killed is foreign. The investigation is not of any benefit to the British people. It's just of benefit to foreigners. And yet half of this that's going on is blacks attacking other blacks, non-whites attacking other non-whites, and all our resources are going into patching up the injuries or prosecuting the killers. And the simple way to solve all of this is to just deport them all. Tell them all, we've had enough of this. It's time for you to go back to your own countries. We could start just by offering incentives. Just say to them, we'll offer you £10,000 to go back to your country of origin. Anyone that's non-white that is caught carrying out a crime, just deport them. You've broken the law here, and we don't want lawbreakers in our country. We'll send you back to your country, or we'll send you back to another country of your choice if you don't want to go back to the Congo or Ethiopia or wherever else it is in Africa that you claim you are being persecuted. If we're giving out all this foreign aid money to these countries, the least we could expect back from them is for them to accept the non-whites that we deport for carrying out crimes in our own country. This could be done quite easily, and there's no need for violent ethnic cleansing. Criminals could be sent back, as I say, they could be deported, and the ones that aren't criminals could be offered incentives. You could offer them £10,000 to go back to Syria, £20,000 to go back to Afghanistan or Africa. They'd be able to live as a king going back to their countries with that amount of money, and it would still be saving us an absolute fortune in the costs of housing these people, feeding them, hospitalizing them, educating their children, investigating the crimes that they carry out. Don't forget, every single new house that's built in Britain is being built for a foreigner because we don't produce enough children to replace ourselves. All that greenbelt land that's going to be destroyed and concreted over is just to house non-whites that are a drain on our economy and that are turning our cities into complete no-go areas. Now, as I say, this isn't just going on in London. This is also going on in Birmingham. It's wherever there are non-whites. Now, this next article I've got here is from the Birmingham Mail. Young people have told how they are living in constant fear of being shot or stabbed in their own neighbourhood. Now, if you could read that out to somebody from the 1920s, they would just be aghast. They just wouldn't believe that somebody in Britain could be living in fear of being shot or stabbed, let alone young people. And this is children that are now fearful of being shot or stabbed if they go out to their local park to play on the slide there or the swings. Gangs waging postcode turf wars and a craze for posting footage of fights, threats and bravado on social media, including the 23 Drillers rappers, have been blamed for rising levels of violence. So once again, they're blaming the fact that these kids are filming it and putting it online. That's not the cause of it. The cause of it is the fact that they're non-white. And recently there was this shooting in Chicago where a doctor was killed, a nurse was killed, and two others. Again, I'll make an educated guess that it was Negroes that carried this out. But the BBC is reporting it as gun violence has struck again. Gun violence is to blame. No, gun violence isn't to blame. It's the people that pull the triggers of the guns that are to blame. And the people that pull the triggers of the guns are overwhelmingly non-white. That's who it is that's carrying this out. You don't stop this crime by banning guns, banning crossbows, banning bleach, banning all these things. You stop it by removing the people that are carrying it out. But nobody's going to suggest that. And if they do, they'll be called racist. They won't be reporting on Nick Griffin or Mark Cullett or anybody else saying what needs to be done is to deport these people. They'll be reporting on Muslims saying, well, we need more money. We need less racism. Reward us, and then the violence will stop. So it's almost like blackmail. I mean, this article here that I'm quoting from now, that's what this is saying. It's saying we need to reward these young criminals, and then the violence will stop. That won't stop the violence. Youth leaders say the age of young people being swept up into street crime has dropped to as young as 8 years old, with children in primary schools being used as drug runners. 8 years old, kids that should be innocent, that shouldn't know anything about the world of drugs and crime, and they're being used as drug dealers. Community worker Mohammed Zafran said more needs to be done to provide activities for young people in Birmingham. So he's saying the way to solve this problem is to spend money on young people in Birmingham. Spend money on the people that are carrying out these crimes. Give them youth centres. Give them radio stations, like the radio station in Brixton that Prince William went to visit last year. Has the radio station in Brixton, has that lowered the violent crimes in London? No, it hasn't. This year we've seen more violent crime than at any other time. Rewarding them doesn't stop them from stabbing and killing one another. Deporting them does. Two 19-year-olds who play football at the Youth Workers Unite and Uplift Academy, that's this community worker Mohammed, the Muslim, obviously he's a representative of his Muslim community. Two 19-year-olds who play football there, based in Bordersley Green, also spoke frankly about the climate of fear in their neighbourhood. One said, "It's crazy. Every time you step outside your house, you worry you could get shot or stabbed on your own doorstep. It's something you worry about all the time. Someone could come and shoot you. Someone could come and stab you for no reason at all. They don't have to know you." And this brings to mind another recent video that I saw of a white woman on her doorstep. She was just putting the keys in her door, and a Negro walks past behind her, just pulls out what looks like a Stanley knife and slashes her across her backside. Just slashed her for no reason. Didn't know her. She has no idea what it was done to her. A random act of violence, as the news media present it. It's not random. She was attacked because she was white. She was attacked because she was a lone white female. All these attacks that they say are random, they're not random. They're blacks against whites, and they're stoked up by the mainstream media that claims that white people are racist and white people are the ones to blame for black incompetence. The current rate of violence in the West Midlands, ranked as the second highest in the country earlier this year, is among the worst that Zafran has ever seen, with young children even being swept up in the mayhem. In February, figures showed West Midlands Police had received 119 reports of children carrying and using bladed weapons, including knuckle dusters and razors, in the previous 18 months. I mean, this is getting as bad as Africa. It really is getting as bad as Africa, using bladed weapons on each other. When I was at school, I was still at school at an age where you could be given a penknife as a prize for good behaviour. Just think about that. You could trust children with a penknife as a prize for good behaviour. Nowadays, you're banned from having knives anywhere at all. You can be arrested for having a knife and jailed for 3 years just for leaving the house with one. A tool, one of the most useful tools that man has ever created, that the white man always used to carry a knife on him to use as a tool, not to use as a weapon. And because of diversity, we can't use these tools anymore. They were just going to ban everything. There were even calls to ban hiring out vans because Muslims were using vans to run us over. This was one of the brainwaves of Mayor Sadiq Khan was, well, let's ban hiring out white vans. That will stop the Muslims running us over. It's this same mentality here that's saying, well, we should be rewarding these criminals by buying them more things. The same mentality says, well, we should just ban everything that they use for killing each other with, and that will stop it. No, it won't. They'll just think up another way to kill each other. The only way to deal with this is to deport them. There is a problem at a local school with children aged 8 or 9 selling drugs, Zaf said. The dealers are using children because they can't be touched by the police. And what race do you think it was that came up with the idea of getting children to sell drugs? It certainly wouldn't have been the white man. We wouldn't even have any drugs for sale in Britain. We wouldn't have a drug problem if we didn't have non-whites. It all took off in the 60s, and it was all being offered by the non-whites in places like Notting Hill and other areas. It was Negroes selling joints, and at the same time they would be pimping white women. And what they would do is they would move these Negroes into areas, and then they would force the white people out so that the houses would be sold for peanuts. And then these Jewish developers would move in there and they'd buy up all the properties. And you'd end up with a black ghetto of Negroes all paying rent to a Jewish landlord who was also the kingpin at the top of organized crime in the area. I forget the name of the main guy that's doing it, but he's quite well known. This was a well-known thing that happened in the 60s. That's why we now have a drug problem. That's what brought drugs to our cities. And it's still the same today. The people that are selling the heroin, it's the Muslim community. They bring the heroin in. The customs officers, they don't want to be asking somebody in a burqa if they can strip them off and give them a strip search, because they know that they'll be accused of being Islamophobic or they'll be accused of being racist for doing so. Continuing with the article here, it's a common thing. The kids are vulnerable and the dealers give them a fiver and use them as runners. It's not so much shocking because nothing shocks me anymore, but it does hurt to have this happening in your own community. And there we go. He's being honest there. That's who it is that's doing this. It's the non-whites. It's the non-white community that are selling the drugs. Zaf, whose brother-in-law Safraz Khan was fatally stabbed in the head with a screwdriver on June the 27th, 2008, gave a stark illustration of the toll that such violence is taking on other families. He said, "I have a partnership with another group who run a cricket team in Aston. They told me recently that one of the players got a phone call to say his brother had been stabbed. Within an hour, another chap got a phone call to say his brother was shot. In the next 6 days, it was someone being shot or stabbed. It's affecting different communities, different areas, and some of it is the postcode wars arising again." It's these communities that bring this crime. There was no stabbings and shootings when it was white communities, white working class communities. It was Queensbury ruled boxing after the pub if you had a falling out with somebody. And it wasn't robbing people and mugging people. People were honourable. They didn't want to steal anything that belonged to anybody else. They didn't have this idea that they must have more than everybody else and flash it about. And you only have to look at the way the Negroes have to flash all their jewellery. It just shows you that they have jealousy and envy of other people instead of being comfortable with what they got. I mean, the white man has always been comfortable with what he's got. That's why we had different classes. You know, the lower classes, they weren't jealous of the upper classes. They were pleased that somebody had wealth and they were pleased to serve them. This is why you have people like Jacob Rees-Mogg's nanny, who's so pleased to still be working for him. This is why you have servants of the upper classes that idolise the people that they work for. They don't envy them. They're not jealous of them. They don't want to rob them. It's the Negro mentality that sees things that other people have and envies them, wants them for himself, and doesn't see what's wrong with taking them. That's the point. Back to this article. Zaf believes young people engaged in badness simply lack outlets for their energy, and more youth centres and projects are needed. He said, I think there's frustration. There's a shortage of youth centres and youth clubs. There is a lack of activities. There are some people doing brilliant work, but the people in power need to do more in terms of youth engagement and asking the youngsters what the problems are. That's it. They need to be rewarded. They need to have more money spent on them. They need to have more youth centres, more snooker clubs, more table football clubs, more places that they can hang out and sell drugs in. That's what we need. And I can recall just recently there was another murder of some Negro, and the black gang, straight after stabbing this guy to death, they went to one of these youth clubs, and there's a video of them in this youth club carrying out, reenacting the stabbing, basically, in this club. Having a youth centre certainly didn't stop them going out and stabbing anyone. This is just rewarding them. This is just deflection. You're not going to stop Negroes from being Negroes and Muslims from being Muslims by rewarding them with youth centres and youth clubs. This is the way that it works. The criminal element carry out the crimes, and the non-criminal element make excuses for them and say, well, our community needs more money being spent on it. That would stop the crimes. It's like when there's a terrorist attack and they say, well, if only the white man would stop being racist, the terrorist attacks would stop. And they even infer that if people like Donald Trump don't stop talking badly about Muslims, there will be more terrorist attacks in America. This is the way that this works. You have to look at it as group activity. And the only way to stop it is to deport them. As I've said over and over again on this podcast. Anyway, that's just about it for today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson talking about some of the philosophical terms that he uses in his podcast, The Orthodox Nationalist. So do be sure to tune in then. God bless and hail victory.